The Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording.
What do you let's talk about some...
I said I was going to sit here and listen to
her
talk.
She is. She's
best session ever.
Yeah.
I also think that you need to teach them at this time to have deep respect for us as parents. And then the challenge is that we're not only the parent, but also the one that is teaching them. And so when these attitudes come up, and I'm very open by this time because I've had, and so I'll tell them, you know, 12 is tough on me. I mean, you think it's tough on you being 12? Try being me and I have to deal with you. So they know that 12 is okay to be tough because, you know, they're going through some stuff. And but we have to teach both our boys and our girls, and I think probably very separately, very differently.
Yeah.
Girls
yeah.
need to learn to control themselves a little bit more with some of their hormone stuff, but so do boys. And what a great time when they're still under our thumb, when they're still under our control, to teach them how important self-control is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. And there's been a lot of times that I'm thinking of my 11-year-old right now where it's, you know, and I can see that she's just struggling with these emotions and not being able to control herself. And I remember like this, I love this because, you know, you have to remember back to when you were at that stage and just remember that we've all been there. And I can see the struggle in her and that she's like, what is going on? But it's like, okay, you need to remove yourself and just take a breath. And we need to, and then it's like, okay, well, we're going to talk about this, but you can't be disrespectful to me. You can't be disrespectful to your siblings. You still need to do your work, and you need to just be able to not be out of control. And you can come back out and talk to us when you're done being. And you know what? This is so important. Remembering that no stage lasts forever, and you know, it's. You have to be able to laugh with them, and it's so true. Like some are worse than others. Like, I don't know. I've had some kids.
I'm thinking of one right now.
I know, right? Like, are you thinking of yourself? No.
No.
some kids, like, you're like, oh, I didn't even know. There was like a bump, not even a bump in the road.
And some of them, it's years.
Yeah, and they're still trying to get out of it, and they're 20.
But they do, because the one I'm thinking of is now coming, and it took years, and I loved him through it, but I love him more now that he's coming out of it.
Yeah. And it's true. And my favorite thing to call my children and her children and all children is they're a work in progress, and so am I. And to have that grace and to know that every day is a new day, and but we don't accept your garbage, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to learn to apologize to each other even when, because get like... Sometimes I suck too, and that's, I don't know. You know, sometimes I'm out of control, and sometimes I lose it and yell, and I shouldn't have, and I have to apologize. So if you're going to do it, we're going to learn how to do that together. And it's key, like, have a sense of humor. Honestly, that is the biggest key in, I feel like, parenting. And I've always said that I will never do a parenting session. This is sounding a little bit like parenting. But it is just so, it's so key. Laugh with your kids and love them through it, and remember that this stage doesn't last forever, and none of them do. So this one's important. And when I do my homeschooling 101 session, I always remind people that the most important thing that you need to do before you even start homeschooling is figure out why you're doing it. And the fact that we all have brought our kids home and we are choosing to spend 24/7 with our children, it's a big deal, and there's got to be a big why. Like, there's got to be a big reason behind that, because who in their right mind would choose this? They're always there. They never leave you alone. They're good, bad, or ugly. You're with each other 24/7. So we obviously brought our kids home because we want them taught through a biblical lens. We want them to have the right worldview. We want them to know Jesus and to love him and our families to be strong. And so these things are all at the core of what we do. And so that is important at the little stage and the middle stage and the teenager stage and every stage in between. So I just said, like, don't, it's a, this is a great time. The middle years, so this is some of our kids up here. And this is a great time to work on character training. They, you know what, sometimes they're lovely at this age and sometimes they're not. And one day they'll be lovely and one day they're not. And it's, you get snippets of what they're going to be like when they're older. But I like, there, it's all an enjoyable stage and they, there can be so much fun in there. But you can't accept bad attitudes just because they're expected. That sounds like the world, right? Oh, the, you know, teenagers are going to be teenagers. It's they'll grow out of it. Or 12-year-olds, you know, they just have bad attitudes. No. That's not okay. You have to have high standards, and you have to make sure that they know your standards. And you need to say something.
I was thinking.
She's thinking.
No, you're doing good.
Oh, shush. There you go. You can talk.
I haven't even read these. You sent them to me and it wouldn't open. but it is true. I was going to say that, you know, we get into these times where, and I think we all think it, like, this is too hard. Is it worth this stress on our relationship? Is it worth having them at home? When there's a constant battle, and some seasons with some kids, and they're all different, seem like more of a constant battle, right? But and I think that 20 years ago, I didn't see this as clearly because the world didn't look like it did today, and the schools didn't look like they do today. And I see now that it's easier to go through these battles at home because you're actually still going to go through them even if they were in school, right? And then more so because not only do we need to train their character still, but now we have to untrain whatever they were learning in the schools because, I mean, I think that's probably why most of us are here is because the schools aren't really the ideal place. So we do need to be pointing them to Jesus. And I think that's a great reminder for us to point ourselves to Jesus too, that I actually can't do this on my own. I would have given up long ago. And so continually being in his word and praying, and then even having to remove yourself. You talked about removing them. Sometimes I remove me and they knock on the bathroom door. You're still in there? Well, you really tried me this time. I'm still praying. So yeah, sometimes we need to take that time.
So just a little background. So she has 10 children, and they range in age from?
Now?
Yep.
29 to 6.
And mine are 29 to 5. We have a bunch of matching children, and so they've grown up together. I pulled my children out in grades, I have to think about this every time, 5, 6, and 8, right?
I wasn't paying attention.
No, I know. And she has been homeschooling for almost the whole time. Pulled a couple out.
Pulled one out very young. Grade 3 and 1 in kindergarten, although I don't count that as school. He still does.
Yeah. So we have, so the older ones, we have, how many? I have 3 graduated. You have?
This will be 5. Yay! Yeah. Half done. This year it will be 5, yeah.
Yeah. I have 3 married. She has 2 married. They, you know, a bunch of them have gone on to, here's some of them, to post-secondary.
Some of those aren't ours, just so you know.
Only one. Oh, 2. So now we will talk about high school. We just wanted to say a little something about middle school. Like we said, there's not a lot of, you know, really revolutionary stuff. And it is all about being patient and having a lot of grace in middle school. I am a reformed public school teacher. And I chose to teach high school because I couldn't stand middle schoolers. So it's they're tough, they're hard, but at least they're your own, and you're not trying to love someone else's middle schoolers.
And one more thing about middle school, though, is that I have one. I guess just one, because I would be. But I have one middle schooler here, and you know, even this conference and the teen track. I just see such growth because I let him go a little bit and he thinks he has some freedom even though it's controlled freedom and he just he didn't turn into somebody different, but he just was allowed to have this growth here. So I just can't say enough about the teen track here too. And we've always sent our kids to teen track, so I've seen this. It wasn't just in him. It was, and even if it's just a perceived freedom, it's just so important to give them those little bits throughout that time as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So now we're going to talk more about high school. There's a lot of more nuts and bolts kind of stuff. So one of the biggest obstacles that people have to thinking that they're going to bring their kids home or homeschool, it would be the high school. And I think that we've both heard, you've done a high school session before, and even talking to new homeschoolers, they are worried about high school. And they're worried about how they're going to teach their children higher level learning, how they do that. Also, even just the logistics. So how exactly do I do this? I field this question all the time. Well, what about transcripts and who gives them grades and all this stuff? We're going to talk about all these things. But I feel like with high school, everybody just needs to take a deep breath and realize you're going to be okay. And you can learn along with them, and you can also find a lot of support. So the minimum actually requirement for high school for homeschoolers is 16 credits, which is really, really weird, but that's not going to get them on. They will not be able to go along onto anything with 16 credits. But the reason for that is because the only core courses are language arts, math, science, and social studies. So every child in high school that's homeschooled has to have a credit in each of those for your four high school years. So grade 9, 10, 11, and 12. Okay, so when you're notifying the government, if you forget to put something on there, they will contact you. That happened to me with my daughter, that one. We were like, oh, we're just not going to do math this year. No, that didn't fly. So she figured she was done, but she wasn't. So you have to have a language arts, a math, a science, and a social studies for all 4 years. And then your electives are extra. That is the minimum for homeschooled grads, okay? Now, most post-secondary institutions are not going to take that. If you actually said that they each only got four credits each year of high school, they won't like that. So, before we talk more about post-secondary, this is probably the biggest bugbear for a lot of people when they are thinking about math, about high school, okay? And I'm with you because I'm not a math person. So I think that there's so many things that you can do to help you along that way, and I think that there's a lot of resources that make it easier for us now compared to many years ago. We're very blessed now. The internet is not I don't like to call it a blessing, but there's a lot of things on there that will make our life easier that we have been very fortunate to be able to use. So our personal experience is just switching curriculum. So that's something that we've had to do with kids in math. So just as an example, I think that all three of our older boys, we switched out from Matthew C into teaching textbooks. And I'm not plugging any particular course, but this is just what we had to do in Algebra 2, I think, with all of them, because that's just where they were at.
And then mine went back to Matthew C for for pre-cal and trig.
Yeah, just depending on where. So
it's just whatever works. But if you're frustrated, don't be afraid to try something else or to look into something else at least.
Yeah. There's so many programs out there. Another thing that I think Bear is saying is that not every child will need to take calculus. And I think that we are overachievers as homeschoolers, and we want our children to do it all, and we want them to excel at it all. And that's a tough one because I don't excel at math, so I'm not sure why I should accept my children. You want to see?
So not only calculus, but my oldest daughter was very heavily into music. She did all of her grades. She did all of her written she's probably the only one that ever had to do external testing. And so did she need Algebra 2? Absolutely not. I knew what she was going to do. She was already teaching. She ended up opening her own studio. And so we ended up doing some consumer math. And so, I mean, I think that it's important to look at who your child is, where they want to be heading, and where you want them to be heading. And math is really important in a lot of those areas. I'm sure we'll talk about our boys in a bit, but sometimes they need math. And so then we need to find them the resources so that they can get through it. But sometimes they just plain don't need all that math. And if it's a struggle for them and they're not going to need it, then switch to something. There's a lot of other options out there that they can, and even a more of a financial. I would say that would probably even fall into, you could make that fall into a math category, is more of a like learning financially, and investing is such a huge thing, and there's so many things that we can look into in different areas. We focus on this, the core math, the algebra 2, the calculus and trigonometry, and we tend to get fixated on that.
So knowing knowing your kids, and knowing if are they going to be wanting to go on, needing to go on into post-secondary, it's wonderful if your child knows exactly where they want to go. I'm not sure, like, if you've got kids who have graduated, I don't know how many of you would say, yes, my child knew at 14 years old what they wanted to do. And then you could focus them going into high school, and you could make sure that they were doing exactly what they want. That is amazing. I had one kid like that, and that's not normal. So I think that maybe Hunter was kind of like that.
Yeah, both of my older two. I don't know what I did with the rest of them, but the older two were good.
But that's wonderful. Unfortunately, if they don't know where they want to go, you have to leave things open a little bit more. But they can also just go and take another course after. Like, who cares, right? Like, there's not really rules to that. But I've had to encourage so many people that if your child is not doing algebra, they just don't get it. Because I think both of our daughters they were in tears, look, trying to do algebra 2. I switched my daughter into several different curricula, and she just her brain wasn't working that way, and that's okay. And she ended up doing two different stewardship, consumer math, kind of more financial stuff, and that served her well, and she's fine. But she's not a language arts person. She did everything with language that she could get her hands on. She ended up working with a publishing company and doing more editorial stuff because she's very smart that way. And if you've ever been in my homeschool one-on-one session, I talk about how your child is smart and how they learn, and how do you learn and how do they learn. And her daughter is a beautifully genius at music, and that is a learning is being smart, but that's not math necessarily. So knowing that and knowing where they want to go, so trying different curriculum is important. Getting help. There's YouTube. Even I know people who have been able to go on to online and find people that will teach things. But also, if you can just find somebody you can tutor, and if it's still not working, and honestly, if you're somebody who doesn't mind learning along with your child, then start from the beginning. And I promise you, you're probably going to get it better than they did, and you can help them along. I don't want to do that because I learned math once and I don't want to do it again.
I tried. It didn't work. I was like, what do you mean? They're asking you something they didn't teach you. Let me watch this with you. You must be mistaken. Oh no, they didn't teach us that. And yeah, so, but I have a son right now who is in teaching textbooks, and he just wants to be done. And so he tends to skip through all of the questions and go straight to the test. And he'll say, I don't know. They didn't teach me this. Well, you didn't actually watch it. So he goes somewhere to learn it. And his computer is out in the open, so that is a blessing to me. So at least I know that he is learning this math somewhere that's safe. And then he's like, oh, that's how you do it. So there's so many areas that we actually didn't have 20 years ago where they can learn these things and learn on their own. Yeah. And so it's a blessing for your child to be able to learn that on their own.
Yeah. Yeah, and And actually, it's really good for them too to not be babysat through it. I think once they get to a certain level, right? They're in high school now. I'm just going to let you try and figure this out. And I have one right now who's struggling with Algebra 1, and he has to keep on repeating and doing things. And he'll ask me for help, and I try and help him, and then my blood pressure is going up, and I'm like, I'm not doing this. I don't know what you're doing. And it's like, you know what? Ask your sister, and she's going to help you. And then it's helping the both of them, because we all know that once we've taught somebody something, we know it better too. So keeping their abilities in your mind, getting some tutors if they need it. YouTube tutorials are helpful. Learning with your child or different curricula is sometimes helpful. So that's math, and that's probably the biggest one with people, having a hard time with. And it's necessary. You need it for a lot of things. And, I love to, I don't know if you were all in Israel Wayne's session last night when he was talking about math and God made math. And I love to remind my children of that when they're like, I hate math so much. And it's like, you know what? God made math. And so we're going to love the numbers that he made and how they work together and how it's ordered, even if it's hard. And doing hard things is good for us sometimes, all of us, right? So we're going to talk about electives a little bit. So they have to do their core. They have to do language arts. And you're free to choose your language arts program and to whatever works for you. And you're free to choose whatever math that they want to do. And like we said, it has to be one for every year, but it does not have to be calculus. It can be something like consumer or more of a business. I know that I think it's ACE that does business math, and it's more finances and stuff. So there's got to be a science, and it can be whatever you want it to be, and a social study. So maybe you're doing history or doing geography, something like that. So you have a lot of freedom, and it is up to you to choose your curriculum and what you want to teach your children, and then you give them a credit for it. Okay, and we will talk about counting credits and transcripts in a bit. But we just want to talk a little bit about electives. So anything that's not core is elective, right? So one of the things that you need to make sure that you do is that you, as homeschoolers, I'm trying to word this well.
Have fun with that one.
We need to make sure that we are not giving homeschoolers a bad name by calling some things a credit or an elective when it really is not. Okay? We'll give some examples. And I put, for example, don't give a credit for home ec just because a child makes dinner once a week. And I am a home ec teacher. That's what I did in my former life. So I put a lot of value on home economics and human ecology and learning to do things like sew and cook and teach and take care of your children. But the courses that I was teaching had a lot more than that, okay? What we're teaching our children at home is always going, we always have the potential for going well beyond what they do in public school, because we know that they waste so much time in public school and there's so much garbage that goes on. So we have that advantage that we can just take this and run with it, and we can give our children so many opportunities. So you have freedom to take that and say, I am going to give my child a home ec cooking in high school. There are three separate credits for home ec. They can get sewing, family studies, and cooking. And I taught all of them, and so I know. But You want to make sure that you're doing it well. And this is not something that anybody's necessarily going to check up on you. And I'm just encouraging you to just do well by your children and by homeschoolers in general. So you have the opportunity, though, and let's call it an opportunity, because our children are at home and they have so much time that they can be learning these amazing things. And you can call it a credit if you do it well, and you can do it if it's not done well, obviously, too. But I just really encourage you to make sure that you dig in and do this deep dive with kids and call some things elective credits, but make sure that you're doing well by them. And I know that you have things to say.
don't be afraid to give your child a credit when they take music lessons. The kids in school, they get credits for band, and they're in, you know, so stuff like that. I mean, they're practicing there. That's realistic. You know, I've heard, like, years and years ago, I heard people talking about, my kid chops wood, they're going to get a wood chopping credit. You know, that's probably not realistic. I don't know. And we don't, what we don't want is for these schools, if, please just understand too, we're not, please don't feel a need to do a transcript for your child if they don't need one. You don't have to do a transcript. There's nothing saying, do you talk about that later? Or?
We will, yeah.
Okay. Now I lost my train of thought because I was on the wood cutting.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, just, I heard, you just have to be very careful that when the school is looking at these transcripts, because we are blessed with the ability to do the transcripts ourselves, mm-hmm. that they're not looking at it going, what on earth did they do? Because they're actually not going to take anything seriously that is on the transcript if there are things that are very unrealistic.
Yeah. And but we do want to encourage you to be, like, to not only be realistic and give homeschoolers a good name and give yourself a good name in your family, because you can give your children credits for some amazing things. And I know I taught high school, and there's a lot of weird things that they gave credits for. And I'll be real with you, some of them were such a joke. But let's be beyond that, and let's make sure that our kids are taking things and doing courses that are not, like, you don't want to just be like, well, theirs is a joke, so ours is, we're just going to give that because it's a joke too. No, let's give them, so let's actually study, you know, let's say you want to do some animal husbandry or something, you've got a farm and your kids, but let's actually study this and not just give them a credit for putting some eggs in an incubator and taking care of the chickens. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just make sure that our kids are having the advantage of actually really taking that deep dive, okay?
We can learn without like bought curriculum too, though. So we're not saying that you have to purchase a curriculum. If you're going to do home ec and learn more about nutrition, you don't have to go buy a nutrition program to do that, right? We can learn these things without having to actually have the curriculum in our hand. We can sometimes it's best not to have the bookwork along with it, right? We learn, our children can learn. And we're talking high school, so we're talking, let them be the instigator of their learning.
Yeah, and there is so much that they can do. And I know, like, let's say your child wants to learn how to sew, and giving them the freedom to have time, and they've got a machine, and you can give them the material and some patterns, and just, you can help them along or get them tutorials and stuff, and they start making a few things, and absolutely give them a credit at that point. Once there is there's something to show for it, that they actually did do this. And you know, we just wanted to kind of temper it with, like, let's make sure we're serious here and that we're not making a bad name for ourselves, because we don't want, it's getting so much easier for homeschoolers to get into post-secondary institutions. We don't want anything, for any reason, for their admissions officers to start being like, yeah, you know what, we're seeing all these transcripts that are just like, they've got some weird things on there. But there's so many opportunities for kids. I have a couple sons that I gave them credits for woodworking because they were building furniture. Like, it wasn't just playing around, right? So they're actually doing these things. But these kids have time to do things like that, right? So, okay, there. Counting credits and transcripts. So, like she was saying, you don't necessarily have to make a transcript for your child. If they are going to go on, they need one. Keeping a running record is probably a good idea. I'm looking at her because
I'm smirking because that's so not me.
It's not her.
And it still worked. I mean, I was fine.
You're fine. But, you know, especially if you know that you're not necessarily going to remember what you were doing or whatever. But, you know, it's easy to keep a book and know what they were doing. It is 4 years, so having to try and remember what they did in grade 9 sometimes is tough.
That's okay.
I know you did okay. I think it helped you.
No, you just made me food, remember?
Right. So some post-secondary institutions may request a high school MARC transcript for admission. And so the homeschooling office cannot provide MARC transcripts, and parents may choose to create MARC transcripts for their children. So that there's lots of transcript templates online. HSLDA has some. There's lots of free ones. And yes, you can print them out and write on them. And it is actually that simple. That you just write that mom, people, this blows people's minds, especially the non-homeschoolers. They're like, what? They'll actually take that? It's like, yes, they'll take that. That's what you can print it. You can put it in a computer, and that's fine. I'm sure you could do that too. But they will take your handwritten transcript, and they will take your word for it. But don't make things up, obviously. I don't think that I put marks on mine, because I'm not a mark person. I don't know. That's probably another story. But the transcripts are actually easy. They're not that big deal. You print them out and you write on them. So it's not a bad idea to print out a transcript in grade 9 and keep it in a file and write on it. Write on
or
it.
Or wait till they're done grade 12 and need the transcript and they've already asked for it and go, oh, okay, well, let's think on this.
Both work, but you know, if you can remember where you put it and keeping a file, then you can do that and just write down what they got and give them a credit. And there's nobody that's going to tell you what's a credit, and there's nobody that's going to tell you that that's not a credit. And just write on it what they did and how many credits you gave for it. If they did, let's say they did Apologia Chemistry, and that's a credit. And then you know, just write down what course they did. It's just like your homeschooling notification. What did they do? And how many credits? So it makes people so nervous, and it's really not that hard.
So I'm just gonna quickly tell why I was like this, or I mean I'm kind of unorganized anyways. But she said she had a dream that I didn't show up here, and I wasn't gonna show up so her dream could come true, because that's kind of me, right? But so it came very quickly. These graduates, it does happen fast, right? And so when my son graduated, he didn't really know exactly. He knew he wanted to kind of get into the electrical world, but he didn't know hydro or what was going to happen. And so all of a sudden, someone is saying, hey, we need an apprentice, so we'll hire you. And this was right after high school. And I guess he was my first that was going to go on to post-secondary through the apprenticeship program. I didn't know what was expected. I didn't know what was needed. And so when he applied through the apprenticeship program, all the lady said was, I just need a transcript. And I was kind of like, oh, like, how do you do this? I didn't know anybody who had ever done a transcript. And
I think you asked me, did you do a transcript for Ethan? And I was like, yeah. And you're like, oh.
Well, and it wasn't actually talked about. Like, I don't remember doing a lot of these sessions and talking about it. Was so hard to get into post-secondary education way back. And so I just found one online. And I didn't. It was editable, so I didn't even print it off. Yeah. And then and backtracked. Yeah. And so that's why. And actually, like I handed it in. I couldn't sleep for a couple nights. I didn't know. You know, is she gonna give it back and say this isn't good enough or what? And all she said was thanks so much, and that was it. And so it was really that easy. But that's the story why. And it probably is easier to take records. But I had little babies and life was busy, and life gets busy for a lot of us. And so we do what we have to do, but don't panic if you haven't done all the steps to keep records. And it's still doable is what I'm saying, if your life had got away on you.
Yeah. So some of our kids want to go on to post-secondary, and some of them, we actually haven't had any want to go to university yet. She has one that's thinking about it. But it's so good to be informed about how this even works. So back, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it was still not as easy as it's, I wouldn't say it's easy now, but it wasn't as common. And so they were still making it a little bit more difficult for our homeschool kids to get in. And so they were, you know, heavy into the portfolio and proof and all this stuff like that. So what I've done here is I went through to everyone's website, or I contacted them, an admissions office, to just find out what do these places want. And so how difficult is it for homeschoolers? So this is U of W, and so this is on their website. So one of the things that I really want to encourage you, if you have somebody who was wanting to go on, is just do your research and contact an admissions officer, and they will help you and walk you through it, because this is becoming a lot more normal for them, is us coming to them, right? So they're not like, oh, what's homeschooling, or you know, you're weird, so we don't want you. They're seeing the value in homeschoolers. So this one, it says, so you have to be who's eligible? Be a high school graduate with at least 30. So 30 is usually the magic number of credits for anyone. High school credits, or hold a matric, yeah. So you have to provide provide a portfolio with proof of completion of grade 12. So usually that is from the homeschooling office. They will send you, this is what they send you, is a copy of what you sent as notification. So they're just sending back what you sent in, saying that this is what we did. And back when our kids went, there used to be a letter that said that you finished high school. They don't do that anymore. So sometimes they will ask for that. So this is one of the ones that is probably asking for that. So the proof of completion of grade 12 or equivalent, including mathematics and English. Okay. So this is U of W. So they're not actually asking for a transcript. They're asking for your proof of completion and a portfolio. A portfolio is some of your work, and some of them ask for that. Some of them do not. And I know that our kids did not. So this is U of M. And U of M says applicants who reside in Manitoba are either homeschool or attend blah, blah, blah. They need their grade 12 notification form stamped by the province exam, and their progress reports, and that's it. And so usually there's probably more to it than that, but that's where the application starts, and then you'll get into U1, and then you'll go from there. So Red River, so now we're getting more into the territory of where we've had kids that have dealt with this. So my son, my second oldest son, did go to Red River for a year. And he did his AME, and then COVID happened, and he got kicked out of school because everybody did, and then decided to do something else. But it says homeschooled learners, and so I did contact the Red River office, and they said that every program is different. But this is their general thing that they say, that the following items will be accepted. If you successfully completed provincial curriculum, submit official transcripts obtained, but we don't usually do that. The assessment is what we did. They have this test that you can take through Red River. That's what Noah did. It basically, you take this test, it cost him $40. It put him, it was like an aptitude test. He came home and said, that was the silliest thing I've ever done. I said, they're just making sure that as homeschoolers, you learn how to read and write and add. And so then at that point, it put him on the same level as everybody else, and he got into his program. So that was so easy. It was amazing. We didn't have to show them anything else. He just took the test, and that was that. So that was Red River, and that was our experience. This is an email from them, and they're just saying that basically it's that they have lots of homeschoolers, and that they like you to contact them, and they'll walk you through it, and they love homeschoolers, and it's, and they'll make it easy for you. Brandon, I think, is even easier. So this one you're going to talk about, because she, the trades. So her son's an electrician.
Who's that at the toilet? But we don't know that person.
We don't have a plumber, darn it.
I actually have told my boys that are 10 and 12, you'll both go into the trades, because that was just the easiest thing, and we had such a great experience with it. But I said, one of you will be a plumber. You can fight amongst yourselves, because I don't care which one, but just know that one of you will. And so now they can fight for the next however many years, right? So the trades was so easy. It was hands off for me after the whole stressful thing about the transcript. And then he got in. Actually, There's different ways. I was on a panel last year, and there's different ways of doing this. This is my experience, in my opinion, because this was our experience. This is the easiest way, is to find somebody to take you on who can take on apprentices, and they will apply to the apprenticeship office on your child's behalf. And then they get in contact with you. They need the transcript. As long as you can provide them with the transcript, they're in. And then they work. And they work for until their hours are completed. With everybody, it's different. And then you go to Red River for 10 weeks. And the beauty about it is that it costs $500, or it did. He's been graduated for a little bit, but or he got his Red Seal a bit ago. But it cost $500 to go to school, but the government actually had a program that I think twice during his 4 years, they gave him $1,000. And when you go to school, they put you on EI. So really, you're getting paid the entire time. He got married while he was in school, and he bought a house because he still had income, right? And so this was a great opportunity, and it was really quite easy. And after I did the transcript, he had to do the rest, which was even better. Like, phone in at whatever time to make sure he got in, because so many people were trying to get in for those years. But he had to be stressed about that, not me.
So when I contacted them, they said that anyone who's interested, you contact them, and they'll walk you through it. So I think that the name of the game here is just you need to. They're not all the same. We can't give you guys like a formula for getting into post-secondary, because they're not all the same. And honestly, from 1 year to the next, they're going to be different. And that's why I was doing a little bit of research, because our experience might not be the same now as it was like 10 years ago.
Well, and we do have family members who tried to get into Red River many, many years ago, like 10 plus years ago. And they looked at their transcript and said, yeah, you know what? We don't really like what's on here. You're going to take another math course. Even though this girl had taken pre-cal and trigonometry, she took all of them all the way through. And then she had to repeat something because they weren't, the States has for so many years kept spaces in some schools for homeschoolers because they know that we are more hands-off by high school, and our children learn to learn. And so they see the advantage of these homeschoolers coming into these schools and being able to learn and not have to have their hands held, really. And that was our experience with our son in Red River too, when they said he didn't teach it. And he said, so you have the textbook, teach it to yourself, to some of his classmates. So we're catching up, I think. Mm-hmm. So it is getting easier to get into these schools.
Yeah, for sure. So Larissa was just updating me on something.
Okay, so Alan is one of the liaisons at the homeschool office, and he told me today that if you're interested in doing apprenticeship during high school, to contact the office and they will help you with that application process.
Oh, that's new too. That's great.
Yeah, so things are changing every year. And honestly, it's I think that Red River and the Apprenticeship Manitoba, which is fairly paired with Red River because you do end up going to school, but they're seeing that people are kind of moving towards going to more trades, and we're actually even encouraging our children more into that than into the university. And we are both university grads, and we'd still be pushing more, especially our boys, to get a trade. Like, that's giving you a job. It's giving you something that you're going to be paid for, and you have something that you're a Red Seal in this, and you don't have this general degree. Obviously, we need doctors and lawyers and everything, but back when we went to and this is an American thing too, like, we're not Americans, but back when we went to high school, which is a million years ago,
it was just last year.
Oh, right. It was more expected that you finished high school and then you went to university, right? And so we did that, and we we both have degrees in, she's a nurse and I'm a teacher, and that's fine. But a lot of people, they end up at university and they get useless degrees, or they just go there because that's what's expected. They don't even really know what they want to do, and they're just wasting their money, and they're coming out with $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 in debt, right? So we're seeing a lot of people are wanting to go more the trade route, where you're like she said, they're making money while they're at school. They have this job when they come out, and they're employed and they're employable, and it's It's just a different world, right? And then we have plumbers and electricians. We can say, come and do my electrical. And they, yeah.
We built a house. It was way cheaper.
Yeah. So, and okay, so just a quick note. My other son is a lineman with hydro. Same kind of deal where they needed, we checked into it. He was the one weird one at 14 who knew exactly what he wanted to do. And so we checked into it. And so we looked into what do you need? And do you know what the weird thing that he needed was grade 11 English and advanced physics. Isn't that weird? So those are the two things that they say are prerequisites. And so we just focused on making sure that we got, obviously, everything else filled into. And then what else do they need? They need a transcript. They needed the letter from the homeschooling office. And then we applied, and he got in when he was 19. And so just doing your homework, where does your child want to be? What do they want to do? And then kind of focusing towards that and seeing what you have to do. So that's what we're saying. Check into it. And do your due diligence and research, because they're not all the same, and so it's hard to give a one size fits all kind of this is how you get your children into post secondary, because there isn't, it's all different, and like I said, our experience from year to year can be very different as well. So that's kind of our quick overview of high school and post-secondary, and I'm sure that you guys have questions, and so we'd love to take some questions, and I think we have probably 8 minutes left, so yeah.
Yeah. If you look at an American high school homeschool book, they're going to tell you to log your hours. That sounds so exhausting to me. And so, yeah, no, I would never even be able to do that. So in our experience, I think both of our experiences is they don't ask. And that is, obviously, it depends on the program, because a math program is going to be the program, whether it took them half a year or 3 years, right? But I think as long as we as parents are just being careful to make sure that we're real, like just talking about being real again. And like she said, you know, not having make dinner, you know, for a month once a week and then count that as a credit. That it's really it's our discretion. And so we just need to have discernment in that.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. But I think that's where people are there's so much trepidation there, because they just don't want to do something wrong, right? But I just really want to give you guys the encouragement that there is a lot of freedom in it. You know your kids best. You know what they're doing. And I did teach high school, and there's so much garbage that they give credits for, and there's so little work going into some of these things. But you can even give half credits if you think that, okay, you know what, I think that this was really valid and it was worth something, but maybe only half a credit. And I have done that. But yeah, like it's some of them are easy. You did a math program, you get a credit. You did your science, you got, like, a lot of it, it's like you do a book, you know, for this year. It would be a little bit, I guess it's a little bit harder if you're doing more like unit studies and unschooling and things like that. And that you need to have to use your discretion. Yeah. Okay. So she says, if you want to track out like provincial curriculum for each 110 hours of instruction. Questions?
Mm-hmm. I did. He got straight A's.
Okay, so as a reformed teacher, I have a really hard time. Like, I can just look at what my children are doing and give you an ish mark, right? And I could do that. And I think that I probably have, if they needed marks, I would be like, I feel like they were about this. And I feel like all of you could probably do that with your children, because we have a feeling for how they did. We don't necessarily do like some things, there's no testing involved in some things, like but everything I know is so subjective, and I know that my own marking of something, unless it's very cut and dry, when I always use math as the example, but that's still not cut and dry, because I know teachers that gave marks for work and some that did not. So it's always, there is so much that could happen that you, I love mastery. I love a kid to just really know what they're doing and not move on until you're doing. So that's kind of just my philosophy in teaching my children, is that yes, we can do grades. I don't necessarily want to do that a lot, because we don't do a lot of the formal, like this is this and we're going to grade it and I'm going to get, because it's so subjective. And I've been put in situations where I was even told to change grades because they wanted the child moved along or whatever. No, I don't want them to have 48. I want the, so I've always just shied away from that. And so I do have a feel for how they're doing. I can give a grade, but I really just want you to know how to do this. Or I want you to really grasp this concept or understand or remember or memorize or whatever the point of it is. And so that's just my personal philosophy. Some of them do, and if I had to, I would. Hydro did not, and then my other son went to Red River.
And it's also, yeah, it's very difficult. Some of it is tangible. I mean, we do teaching textbooks. They give you a grade, which
that's actually great.
I just want to say that's kind of a lie, too, because my one son is adamant. He wants to get as close to 100% as possible, so he's like, can you erase that one? I want to do it again.
You can, yeah.
And so it's all subjective, right? So I just feel like if you're worried about it, keep a portfolio. Keep a portion of his work. And I don't think that they necessarily want to see from 9 to 12, but for sure grade 12, and if you're worried, even 11 and 12, keep that portfolio so that they can read, oh, look at, this was his composition. He, even though I didn't give grades, you can read it and you can figure out a grade. And so that, some of them ask for it and some of them don't, but even the ones who don't, if you need to go to bat for your child, then you can say, here, I'd like you to look through this.
And I also didn't, I knew that I didn't have any so far that were headed towards university per se. I knew exactly where Ethan was going. Noah was a little bit harder to figure out, but he did Red River, and so that one became easy. But that, yeah, again, just knowing where your child wants to go, doing your research, figuring out what they're going to need. But again, you can, like she said, you can fill in the blanks after, and you are the best one to gauge how your child is doing in every subject, and so you can do that. Other questions? Yep. Yep. See, it depends, like, what's the transcript for? That's where it all boils down. Like, if they want to go to university, there's probably going to have to be a grade in there, right? Yeah. CMU.
CMU is Canadian Mennonite University. My daughter applied there, and they want the name of the course and the number. Well, we don't have numbers, but if you know what public school course it's equivalent to, put that. So they did biology, put biology 40S, even though we don't worry about that, but just put it so they know what we consider that to be equivalent to. And then they want a grade, and then they wanted a separate document, separate from the transcript. They want to know the name of the course, the course description. You might have to make that up yourself, because a lot of homeschool production is, okay, you as the parent, this is easy to implement and that kind of thing. The college doesn't want to know that, so you might need to do some research. Kathy Duffy reviews, those kinds of things. You can pull sentences from those to create a description. They also wanted a resource list. What resources did that course use? What novels did they read in English or whatever? And then finally, a grading scheme. So did you base your grade on tests or projects or completing their work or whatever it is, just lay out how you came up with a final grade for that course. So that's what CMU wanted.
took me 2 weeks.
Sounds like CMU wants more than U of M.
I submitted first with letter grades a transcript that I'd had an American program to do, and they sent it back and said, please submit it this other way. It took me 2 weeks to compile. I had a two-sided transcript and 11 pages of documentation that I sent to them, and next thing we knew, she was accepted. So.
U of M looks good.
Yeah, and Miller, actually, I did contact Miller, College of the Bible, and they said basically they do, each applicant is like their own deal. So they want you to just reach out to them, and then they figure out what they want from you. And it's like an interview thing, and they just want to talk about it, and what did you take, and stuff like that. They don't want to actually turn anybody down, so they want to work with you. So we love Miller, and so they are very easy in that way, but... yeah, it sounds like CMU is the opposite.
Anybody else?
Yeah. Yep. You can separate the English into separate things. I would do some like digging into what even the public schools give as credits, right? And then just see what you're gonna get away with, right? But yeah, pretty much everybody will want 30 credits if you're going on. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the heavy ones, and actually I think that Apologia used to say they were 2 credits. I think it said that in there.
Their science would be like your biology would be like grade 11 biology, grade 12 biology in one book. So you can give 2 credits for those.
Yeah. We're actually over time, so you know what? We're going to wrap it up, and thank you all so much for coming. If you have any more questions, you can come up here and see us.
Once again, the Manitoba Association of Christian Homeschools would like to thank the Learning House for sponsoring this recording. Please visit them at learninghouse.ca.